Hey, Street Fight Radio listeners. Glad to have you back. Glad to have you here if it's your first time. We are the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation. You know us best for spreading our mess across the U.S. And we thank you for supporting us all year long. We've had a great year, and we plan to do even bigger and better things in 2018. So thanks for being around for all of that. The Fighty Bo shirts are in the mail. We've got all of your November rewards are in the mail. The family zine is on the way. Everything's looking lovely. So Street Fight is chugging along just fine. And we're ready to keep this thing moving. We're doing a live show in Denver, Colorado on January 12th. So be there. It's going to be at the Syntax Physics Opera. You can go to store.streetfightradio.com to get tickets for that. For those of you that are just getting here for the first time, what we're trying to do is unite all of the workers across the entire earth and get them to overthrow the ruling class and create a more beneficial situation for everybody, and so we can all take more breaks and drink more beers and have a better time around here. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quimby. We've been doing this for 6 years on WCRS. We also broadcast live out of the Free Press Studios here in Columbus, Ohio on Sunday nights. You can hear our call-in show. This is normally our basement edition, but I'm still very much injured. So this is another living room lounge show.
Yeah, we sit. Well, I'm not lounging because I never lounge. I'm always... what's the word? Like, I'm busy. Is that the right word?
But I mean, you're professional slacker. I mean, you have some of the worst posture I've ever seen. I would say.
Yeah, I look like
you sit in an L.
I do. A J. I like to call it maybe a. No, it's an L. About.
I mean, you're laying flat. Your back is flat on the couch, and your knees are bent. You're pretty much laying down when you're sitting.
I like laying down. I mean, that's probably my prime situation to be in, is laying down.
Yeah,
recording laying down is a little weird because I like to get hype. I was standing up back in the basement shows, but now you got us up here doing this opium den lounge shows that makes it so I have to get a little comfortable. I let the eyes slide a little bit down. I hit a lot more weed while we're recording like this.
Yeah, way more relaxed. It's a Relax the Backs episode.
Relax the Backs episode. Brett is on week two. I mean, thankfully, you know, Brett pulled his back out, and thankfully we don't live in socialism where he would have to wait like 2 or 3 weeks to get his back looked at, and he's waiting 2 or 3 weeks to get his back looked at.
Yeah, I made my appointment a week ago when it got real bad, when I couldn't feel my leg. And it was hilarious because when I called on the phone to make the appointment, I was like just in pain. And she was like, okay, and what insurance do you have? And I gave her the name of it. And then she said, is it the upper, the middle, or the lower? And I was like, oh, shit. They ask you that now? Oh, I don't know. It's good insurance. I pay a ton of money for it. I mean, it might not be the best. I'm sure I'm going to have to pay you some money after this is all said and done. And then she says, I meant, where did you injure your back?
Yeah. Yeah. They don't really care about the insurance until you get in there. Well, your insurance is crummy.
That's true. They always want you to go in there and rack up the fees. They want you to go and like do a bunch of damage, because as long as you get that damage on paper, they can sell it to somebody else for something, you know. They can get a free lunch out of it.
Yeah, some debt. It's some debt that they can collect.
Right.
It's very nice.
Generate fees. It's job creation. So, yeah, and I've been real bad because my sister is a nurse, so I just call her. Like, I'm just like, you're my doctor now. Like, now I don't got to pay these damn doctors because I got one. I'm related to one.
I wish you'd call me. Like, no. I would give you some advice, too.
Yeah, you just would have said, no, your advice was go to urgent care, which I did not want to do.
Because
I don't
want to
give them
my
money. It's not the right advice.
That's the right solution for your problem. That's the way I would solve this problem. And it's the right solution for your problem, is to go to urgent care and get some muscle relaxers and then figure it out a couple days later. And you were like, they ain't going to do nothing, which is what you yell at me for when I don't go to the doctor. What do you know? You're not some kind of a doctor.
Well, I already talked to my doctor, and they said she said that if I came in, all they're going to do is give you some pills. They can't do anything about the pain. They can't fix it. They're going to try to make an appointment with some sort of specialist. I already had an appointment with a specialist, and I already know I'm going to have to pay $50 to see the specialist. And I don't want to fork out another $50 to go to urgent care just to get pills. I'd rather John McClane this thing.
God forbid you get pills. That would be the worst situation you could ever possibly be in.
Hey, I'm trying to strengthen myself. Like, I want to know in like 2025 if we're like going to take down Kekistan, and I'm like climbing over a fence and I tweak my back, I got to be able to live through that to make it out alive.
We'll get you pills then. The walls will be gone.
There won't be enough time.
Time for pills. We're beating Kekistan right now.
I'm too fidgety with this injury too. I just keep dragging it around like it's a dead body part. Yeah. Like, just, well, I guess I live my life without a leg now.
Yeah, yeah, you're still getting around. We packed the shirts tonight. I was like, wow, look at this guy go. He's a real trooper. I would be like in bed. Well, I'd be laying down until the podcast. I'd come here and lay down while I did the podcast, and then I'd go back home and go to lay down. But I guess you've been laid up for like 2 weeks now. There's no way you can lay around for that long without having to do something.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much. It finally got to me. Well, I mean, I've just been fighting, like I said, fighting through the pain, testing myself. I like that.
Yeah. Well, so we have the Street Fighters group, the secret, super secret Street Fighters group on Facebook. You're going to have to answer questions to get in. And if I'm telling you, Brett is strict. If you're goofing off, you're probably not going to get in. I've seen it, and I'm always like, let them in. And Brett's like, oh, nope, they should have answered the question the right way. And I'm like, damn, he's really tough. But somebody, we get a lot of really good tips in there and memes and shit. And I got a really good, we got a good one that classified types of workers that to go through on the show tonight.
Yeah, this was great.
Yeah, and it's for a seminar to teach you how to deal with employees as management. And I suppose if you're a manager, that'd be helpful. If you could figure out a way to like do like, what do they call it? Like a taxonomy of all the different sorts of employees you're going to come around. I guess you would want to have this guidebook in your hand. Told you I could solve these problems, these labor issues, if you will, these are the labor issues for management. They're not like for us, labor issues are that management won't pay us money and they're up our ass the whole time. For them, these are their labor issues.
Yeah, this is their job. That they have to manage these people. They just have to make sure that they keep doing their job without creating a fuss.
So at the top of this page, it says, is it your job to supervise any of these characters? And then it gives us a sweet list of characters. And I'm just going to start at number one, the excuse artist. Misses every deadline and goal, but always seems to be ready with a good excuse or to place blame and point fingers at others. Okay. I don't know if I'm one of those. I mean, obviously, like this is a little insight into me, I guess. I am an excuse artist in the way that if I can blame my boss, I absolutely will.
Yeah, I usually have a good excuse.
Yeah.
So I also like to test the limits where people will like rack themselves and like really wring their hands over like, this thing is late, I'm going to lose my job. And I'm just somebody that's like, you know what? Shit's been late before. They aren't going to fucking, who cares?
So you're not an excuse artist. You're a no excuses artist.
That's true.
In that, like, no, I mean, shit's been, everybody knows things get late sometimes. That's just the way things are. Yeah, I would tick the excuse artist box for me. As we know, I'm a nightmare employee, so excuse artist really works.
See, I don't like getting that kind of heat though, because I just you got to make sure the job is stable, because then they'll start finding reasons to get rid of you.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, I try, my goal is to not be late so that I don't ever have to make the excuses. And I know that's a chicken's way out.
You know? Sure.
It's like, that's not the kind of advice we're supposed to give on this show. But if I got a deadline, I try to meet the deadline just so, because, like, no, like I said, I've missed a lot and I have made excuses, and it's just, that's who I am.
You say, I'm a parasite on the company, but I have to be like, you can't know I'm there. Like, I'm tucked in the armpit wasting money.
That's why being on time works. It hides you a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not telling you to be on time all the time. That's not good monkey wrenching, you know? But I guess, you know, that's the best way to avoid having to be an excuse artist. Although, you know, just... I mean, really, who wouldn't be helped by, like, just a little checklist of excuses that you can refer to every now and then?
True.
Like, maybe a little planner with excuses and then a line next to it so you can tell the person, like an app with the excuses and what excuse you've used on what person.
Oh.
Almost like a spreadsheet so you're not using the same one
excuse
more
book.
Than once.
Yeah, a little journal of excuses.
It's perfect, right? Did I just fix? It's not necessarily even a journal. It's kind of like the meals app, meals app where you count your calories.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of like that. It's just to keep you straight and let you know. Like, it could even be like an algorithm that's like, oh, which boss are you dealing with today? Here, let me toss you the best excuse for that boss or that problem.
Or you put in, you could put in it. Let's see. Are you a professional excuse artist having trouble keeping all of your lies straight?
Yeah.
Use the excuse app. And you could click on a boss's name and then it would let you know if you could, like, you need to cool it or not. Like, if it's been 45 days since you lied to them, like, it's probably, you could probably slip another one in. But if it's been like 3 weeks, you're going to have to come up with something pretty good, you know?
Yeah. I like that. Yes. This is what we're trying to invent. Okay.
The excuse artist toolbox.
Yeah. The next one's the short changer. This is very me, Brett. Late to work, early to leave, stretched lunches, extended breaks. This person makes an art out of shortening and shortchanging the workday while leaving co-workers holding the bag.
We had the old shift starts at 3:30, but you're not late up until 3:35. At 3:35, you were late. So I clocked in at 3:34 every day. We would literally stand and have 15-minute conversations, watch it turn 3:30, and then wait for 3:34 to clock in.
Yeah. That's so... And that is me too, man. My lunches are always an hour five. Like, because I feel like you deserve...
Walking back and forth time.
Walking to the car and walking back in time. Exactly. They owe you that much.
Yeah, we got in trouble. They used to 18-minute breaks was always an issue. They're like, we give you 15 minutes. And everybody's like, well, but to get to the braking area, I haven't really had any chance to brake when I'm like trying to get away from my fucking workstation.
Yeah, I could smoke like a half of a cigarette. On the way out there, I could have smoked one half of an extra cigarette on the way out there. You owe me that.
Yeah.
Like, the machine was being finicky. The snack machine out there, I was having trouble deciding which one I was going to get. Yeah. They don't even leave you time to get a refund when you go on a break.
And you know what? I bet the shortchanger is probably happy as a clam, too.
Oh, like, God, yeah.
You know, that's like no pressure work, you know, like when they aren't, you're going to cut your thumb off for being late 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those. I mean, I know it's a bullshit, whatever TED Talk thing, but there's a few of those companies out there that have switched to like, we don't hand out vacation days. Like, if you want to be away from your job, let us all know, figure out a way to get your work done, you know? And people are like, I love this.
Yeah. It sounds excellent. And so we're on number two. I am an excuse artist and a shortchanger. You, shortchanger, right?
Yeah.
You're not really an excuse. You don't identify as an excuse artist.
I don't think I do. I mean, I probably, I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't remember doing too much lying.
Yeah,
I mean, not like, I don't know, saying something to get the boss to go, no, I'm not an excuse artist.
No. So the next one,
I would more do my job as fast as I can and then blow it off for like that's shortchanging. Again, once again, it's like, shit, it's going to take me 4 hours to do that, which means I'm going to do it in two and then find other things to do for 2 hours.
Find something fun to do that's not working for 2 hours.
Right.
I'm going to tape Ted to the fucking... to one of the racks. I'm going to tape Terry to a pallet. Like, see if he can stand up.
Well, that's like when they don't know what your job is. When they don't know what your job is and you're the only person that's doing it and you take a long time to do it, they think it just takes a long time to do it.
That's how I always, like at the cable company, I was always like, oh, these jobs all take all the time you give me.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
every time like I
the
go.
The exact amount of time. You give me the exact amount of time I need.
Old wire I got to redo. The cats and dogs are, I'm fighting those things off.
Yeah. The next one is the intimidator. Everyone's tiptoeing around this person lest they incur wrath and anger. The intimidator uses fear and bullying tactics to control coworkers and can single-handedly ruin an entire team. I am not an intimidator. I don't. Let me ask you for a case. Let's see if this is a case of intimidator, right? A lot of times I've been in meetings, whether it's at the call center job or the cable job, and I like take hard stances in the meeting against a new rule where it's like, I can remember them saying you need to take your Nextel into the house with you when you get home and answer it if we call you because we might need you for an emergency, but you're not on call. I'm like, well, I don't need the phone then. If I'm not on call, I don't need it in the house. I can leave it in the van, you know? And I got into a big argument about whose time is whose with the manager in front of everybody. Is that an intimidator tactic?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I mean, I'm confused by this one. This sounds like the boss to me.
Yeah,
they're
but there's
somebody in the office that's pushy and like makes just wants everything done their way because it makes the most sense because they're only thinking about their own sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's probably somebody who just gets mad and yells a lot.
Yeah.
If you're talking about him not being the boss, the grumpy Gus that yells about everything. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that type of person.
Well, I was going to say there was also a lot of like really micromanaging old ladies that didn't have any position of power but did a lot of extra work for the boss.
Yes, yes.
And they're intimidator types because they're like watching what you do all the time and they're like going to tell on you and they're going to bully you. They're worried. They're about numbers and all of that.
Yep. Yeah. I've met some intimidators. I was not an intimidator.
Yeah.
It's like a person who acts like a lead but isn't actually a lead.
A guy with a polo and a gold cross necklace.
Yes. 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 The next one we got here is the gossip. Behind closed doors, through the grapevine and under the radar, they're waging verbal warfare and personal attacks. Rumors and criticisms are the cool tools of their trade.
See, but that's the lifeblood of your company, though.
That's everybody. That's like every single employee is the gossip. If there wasn't gossiping, then work would just be unbearable.
I don't know. I used to make people tell me stuff, but I wouldn't respond to it. I would just be like, all right.
You wanted to know every bit of it. You're just as much the problem as the because you're the ear that's like, oh, what did Charlene do? What? Oh God. Come on. What's Terry over there doing?
Well, I think that's just people need a place to vent, right? That it's like being the office psychologist is all they are. Like,
well,
the gossip serves a need.
Put you in a room with a bunch of people that just happen to have like the same skills as you, that not necessarily people like you that you're compatible with.
Right.
It's like just a bunch of people they taught to answer the phones the way that they want the phones answered.
Yeah.
Is all you have in common. So it causes a lot of weird social situations at work. And if you're not talking about what's going on, then I mean, it's almost like they're saying don't talk. They're saying don't talk about each other, but it's like, that's all there is to do here. It's do the work and then talk shit about each other. That's work. I've never been in a job where people didn't just talk shit about each other the whole time. Like every job I've ever had, even like at the lowest stakes that, you know, an $8 an hour job. Every single person was just talking shit about each other the whole fucking time, man.
Yeah, makes the day go by.
You're just trying, like, fundamentally, you're trying to eradicate something that is not, like, what I'm saying
it's
is
human
it's not
nature.
A type. Like, the gossip is not a type.
Well, it is.
It's everybody.
No, but there was people that, like, tell people stuff they shouldn't be telling them or send emails that they shouldn't.
Yeah, those are the ones you go. If it's not for them, then there's no gossip either. Like, it's like it's like the ecosystem of a job needs the people that want to hear it, me and you, because I don't really pass rumors. I'm not into that shit. I did at a time in my life, but I don't want anything to do with like somebody confronting me about the rumor that I spread about them. That's like the worst feeling in the world, and it used to happen to me a lot. That's why I am like I am now, where I just try not to get involved in anybody's personal stuff. Like, oh, can we talk about Donald Trump or something? The next one is the clod. The clod.
Like, okay, the clod.
This one is a master procrastinator who can come up with plenty of excuses as to why a task or project hasn't been started. And when the clod does finally get down to business, the work progresses at a snail's pace, stressing out team members, putting other departments behind schedule, and ultimately guaranteeing missed deadlines and unhappy clients. I'm a clod. I got to tell you I'm definitely a clod. That I'd be considered a clod for sure.
Are you just a clod of dirt to gum up the works?
It's just, I don't want to do this.
Right. You're dragging your feet.
Yeah. I don't want to fucking do this. Can this even be done? That's a question I used to pose a lot at any job I have. I mean, like, has anybody ever even tried this? Seems hard. It doesn't seem easy. And then once it gets started, you drag your feet on everything. Yeah, I'm a clod. I'd hope all of our listeners are clods, though. Clods make the world. Clods slow down the progress. You know, they slow down, like we were saying about, you know, filling up your time, your short changers.
Yeah.
Clods help to create the short changers in a way.
Yeah, like, that's true. Because you're the low on the numbers, yeah. Right? You're doing that the slowest as possible. So you're doing a vital part of the job, which is setting the lowest bar.
Yeah.
The low bar.
You're just under the lowest bar. Like, we all know that we just have to work one unit more than the clod.
Right.
One unit faster than the clod.
You're our pace car.
We salute you, clods. All you clods out there, we salute you.
See, I've done that. See, I feel like I have had aspects of these. There's times when I'm just like, you know, they're setting numbers, guys, so we can't do shit. You know, there's, you know, like, make it take as long as possible.
Right now, this new experimental part of the lot, like in a warehouse, that's a really big deal because they'll do like new experimental ways of doing things. And you know that you're in at the beginning of them setting the numbers that you're going to have to meet.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's keep it down. Let's,
yeah. Let's, it's like, look, get ahead of ourselves.
Let's drive the forklift in the medium speed.
Well, and I guess in a good combination of clawed excuse artists is, I mean, I did that in a way too, where, like, I guess I always had like an 11 and a half occurrences and I always clocked in at 3:34, and then I also would take 5 hours to do 2 hour things. So, I mean, that is dragging your feet as much as possible, and like openly and on purpose too.
Me too. It was always like, wait,
but I knew I wasn't gonna, I knew I was never going to lose my job. Like, I just, the whole time it sucked because other people believe like in saving face with the boss and all of that and like calmness, but I would just be outwardly against them, you know. Yeah. Just tell them, I think this is stupid, don't talk to me like that, I came here to do the job and I do it fine, and just leave me alone while I do it.
That's the intimidator a little bit too.
That is true. You're
that's
right.
The intimidator stuck in your, that's what the intimidator is. That you got to think of this from the supervisor's position of the person that you go to.
Oh, yeah,
every
true.
Single time. It's a problem for them. This is a problem for me. This is not going to, I'm that person. I very much am like, oh, we're going to put people on call. You ain't going to put me on call. I didn't sign up for that.
Yeah. You know? Brian, we're having a nice meeting here. It's like, no, we need to talk about this right now before you brush it over.
Yeah. Every new rule at Insight, like the call center was like really, the one I worked in was probably a lot different than other ones in that like they really had their process down and they didn't tweak it very much. They didn't change rules or tweak at all. The cable company though was like completely different because they were constantly changing the rules. I mean, over 7 years, I did so many different configurations of the actual job. Like the job would drastically change over that time, you know? But so by the end, it's like at the beginning, they were giving me like 8 jobs and 4 of them had to be done in the morning and 4 of them had to be done in the afternoon. And then by the end, it was like 8 jobs. And they were in two for each 2 hour time span. And like you had to meet these certain quality control standards. If you went and did a job and they had to go back after you left, that counted against you and you had to keep a certain number up. And I just remember always railing against those numbers and like pointing out different reasons why somebody would have to go back after me and how these numbers are unfair. And like, there's just be these meetings of like, it's like I'm fucking like doing negotiations with the UN for my work contract. Meanwhile, I had no say in anything. No. And I think that's something that they're saying in here too, is like the Intimidator, oh, they don't have any say.
That's true. And I thought I did at the time too. I was stupid enough because everybody else is just like, shut up and just, this is the job now, dummy. Like, yeah. They'll just fucking fire you.
I know.
Like, you're not going to fight back. I was younger at the time. I was probably 22 or 23 and thought I would fight back against management. And it's like, they're not going to put up with that at all.
It's worth doing. It's not worth doing. It's just they don't. We're really
a one-on-one argument during a meeting is not going to turn the company around.
Not only
their
that,
labor practices,
it's gonna dig in their heels so much. Yeah. Worse, you know, but it is fun. Like, yeah, if you're a person that gets joy out of just really being
tanking a meeting,
burned. Yeah, tanking meetings is like, I mean, people really hate people that tank meetings.
Oh, I know.
I mean, like, I tanked so many of them to where, like, at the end, the manager's, like, sweating, and I'm fucking, like, storming out of the room and stuff, and it's just like this. I mean, I had meetings where, like, I squared up with my boss where he came around to talk to me, and we were, like, facing each other like we might fight. And it's just like, I made him that mad because I'm not a fighter guy. I don't start fights. And like, after I left, after a while, I was like, man, every manager I had there almost fought me.
Squared up
one time. Yeah. Where we were standing across from each other. And then I'm not the person that started it. I mean, I'm the person.
Really? What? That's what you took from that? Try harder. Scratch a little bit deeper.
I'm not the person that moved to violence, is what I'm saying. I moved another person,
right,
to
you
violence.
Provoked them. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm blameless. I'm saying that, like, I knew I made them so mad. I was so frustrating that it was just like these dudes just couldn't handle me. The next character trait is the downer. No matter what, this person is unhappy. For this pessimist, the glass is always half empty. The downer maintains a consistently negative, stifling presence and constantly spreads the bad news to everyone else.
Well, because you're constantly taking away from us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why is there always bad news?
Yeah. He's always highlighting the bad news when we give it to you. When we tell you there's no bonuses, he's the guy that's going to remind you that you got bonuses last year. What a downer. What a downer.
That is who they're talking about. The downer is the person who's not cool with them taking, like, Oh, they're not giving raises this year. Can you believe they're not? I hear they're not giving any raises. And then the boss is like, what a damn downer. Everybody's mad because we're not giving not because we're not giving raises, but because Jerry told everybody we're not giving raises.
Yeah, if that guy wouldn't have just reminded everyone we didn't give him raises, they wouldn't even have minded.
The downer is important, too. That's another like, it's funny that they're trying to, like, eradicate these people instead of, like, for me, I'm like, no, this is how a workplace functions is with these people. These people are essential. Like, you can't, like, I don't know what a workplace looks like if these people aren't there, because they are at every job I've had. Every single kind of job I've had, there's been one of each of these people that I've worked with. Because every time, once I read them, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I might be that. Or like they might, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
the downers good, because they're another one that sets a lower limit. You know what I mean? Like, so like when something's a real pain in the ass at work and you think that's just part of your work, sometimes the downer will get you like all up in arms about it and try to get you to help change it. And it's really nice, because it's like, you know, like the downer is like the guy who's like, you know, the way we have to like move these boxes is not ergonomically good. And you're like, you know, you're right. It's not.
I don't think it's disrespectful that we have to sign out for a lunch break.
Yeah. We need downers. Downers. Union. All unions need a downer. The minimalist. Uh-oh. We might have found me. Apathetic and low performing. These unmotivated workers can be counted on to give the bare minimum or even less. They make an art out of turning in mediocre performances, poor enough to frustrate managers, but passable enough to keep them employed.
Yeah, a lot of these sound like, I mean, they're similar in a way.
I'm a minimalist. I mean, that's what we were saying earlier, is that's what an excuse artist does too. The minimalist.
Yeah, it's a great combination of all of those attributes.
Yeah. Again, maybe we don't need them, but they're not bad. If they're not doing anything to get fired, then why are they bad workers?
Well, and if you're just treating this all like a damn video game and we're one of your employee units and you only want 70 items processed by one of your units, and we come in and do that, why do you care how much time it takes or how long a fucking lunch we have or a break or whatever the fuck it is, or whether or not we have a smile on our face?
You're right about that. That is the perfect thing. It really is like they're telling this person, like, you know, I ask for this much, but you could be doing so much more. I assume if I was doing it, I would do like at least 6 more units. You know, you're doing 70 a day. We only ask for 70 a day, but everybody else is doing around 75, 80 to 100. And you're like, well, I'm doing 70 because you said you needed 70.
And technically, I can't fire you because we do ask for 70 in the handbook, but you know, we'd like to see a little bit of extra effort out of you.
You didn't ask for that. That's not what you hired me for. And you know what? The job that these people would come up in a lot of times, very likely, like, they're not being paid to give the extra effort, you know?
Yeah.
Guess what? You know what the real, like, how you can solve the problem of a minimalist? Pay them a little bit more.
Dude,
and they'll do a little bit more work.
And I've been to places where they do pay the people a ton of money, and it's insane the type of employees that they get.
Yeah, yeah. You just, like, as far as, like, with me even, it was like, okay, so you need to have 70 units done a day. I will do 75 units. If you give me 5 more units worth of pay, I'll do it. And it's like, well, that solves the damn problem.
It's decided.
You want to solve the minimalist problem? Pay them for it, because that's all they're asking for. Like, all you have to do is pay people enough money that they feel appreciated. But the goal of these jobs when they hire you is to get the minimum amount of money out of you. They don't care if you're fucking appreciated.
Managing means making the extraction of your labor more efficient.
Yes.
Like, managing is like, this is the way that you can kind of massage the work out of these people.
Let me help you. Let me help you see how much I can squeeze out of you. Like you said, that's true. Management is massaging it, but the way I see management is squeezing it.
Right.
Squeezing it and wringing it out of me. They see it as massaging it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yes, yes. They're working out your knots.
Yeah, nope, it's wringing. It's squeezing blood from a turnip or whatever.
We're going to turn all those cans into cans.
Nope, we're not. It's not happening. No cans, no cans. The next one is the soap star. Their continuing soap opera of personal problems not only hurts their own productivity, but distracts sympathetic coworkers who get drawn into their never-ending predicaments and problems.
You need this.
When you're working with humans,
yeah,
they're going to have lives that don't exist inside of the work.
And if you just go to your job and you kind of get handcuffed to your desk, and you don't have like a little celebrity to run around and everybody talk about behind their back with the gossip. I mean, how the fuck are you going to have any sort of like family aspect or community or enjoy it? I mean, what the fuck? Otherwise, it is like just grueling work. Like there's no personalities. They're wiping it all out.
This thing seems to be that's what they don't want. Like this soap star thing really is like, you ever have somebody at work that has problems at home? Like, see how you can get rid of them. They're making all these problems. It's like, fuck, dude, not everybody's life's all that great.
Yeah. Like, oh, she says she has fibromyalgia again.
Oh, yeah. She has to go to the doctor. Oh,
her nervous system is in pain. God damn it.
Yeah.
Danielle.
Oh, my God. That is so... Oh, his back hurts today. I've heard his back hurts today so many times. Like, your back... it's impossible that a person who throws boxes around's back could hurt. They would do that at the cable company. Like, oh, yeah, his back's hurt today. I was like, well, you maybe think it's from swinging around that fucking ladder all day? It's possible that sometimes not saying it should happen every day, but sometimes you hurt your back when you're swinging a ladder around all day.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Like if I had to go to a regular job right now, I would just be light duty, I guess, or something.
No, I mean,
they always make you. Yeah.
If it happened at work, it would be, but you'd be in a world of shit really right now at a regular job. You'd have to probably
light duty.
I mean, I guess they could give you sick days, but a lot of times light duty isn't something they do unless you were injured on the job.
That's not
true. In my experience,
that's not true. They can't make you work through an injury.
They don't make you work through an injury. They make you take your time.
No, I
and
mean,
then come back.
I've had people just do like not throwing boxes if they hurt their back.
Well,
but they still make you stand up and like bag clothes or sit down or whatever the hell.
Yeah, that's I guess that's possible at like a warehouse. I know at the cable company they didn't do light duty. Nobody got light duty. It wasn't a thing.
There wasn't anything to do besides the cable?
No, there was. There was a lot of things that could have been done besides the cable, but they had a policy against light duty.
Oh.
So it was like if you got hurt at work, they would pay you, but if you didn't get hurt at work, you had to use your sick time.
Right.
And then if your sick time ran out, you could use your FMLA time and not get paid for it. And that's how it worked at the cable company. And
that's wild. I know they weren't handing out 2 weeks of sick time.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. I mean, the amount of time you've been down, you would have used a lot of sick time. You would have used your vacation time, your sick time, and your personal days pretty much right now. And you'd probably be headed into headed into FMLA, which is a nightmare, man. It's like you're not going to get a paycheck. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. I mean... No worker protections, dude.
Yeah,
and even less now. There's just none here. None in the United States. There's nothing that can help you with that. I guess you can shoot for disability maybe, but part of me thinks that also has to have happened on a job. I guess you could sign up for SSI, the Social Security Disability, where they draw from your Social Security account and give you a little check. That's what you can do. But I knew a lot of people at the cable company that would hurt themselves like remodeling on the weekend and have to take weeks off because their back was fucked up. But I mean, like I said, if your back's fucked up from carrying a ladder, that's workman's comp and you get paid for it and you get all that time off and it doesn't count against your days.
Well, that's like, I mean, I've told the story a few times, but when I was throwing boxes and I got this ganglion cyst in my wrist, and I told the doctor that I found out it, I had it from trying to do breakdancing.
I hate you for that. This makes me mad every time you tell the story. Oh, it's breakdancing. Oh, fuck. It's not from breakdancing.
Yeah. Then he was like, we can't say it's from work then. Ugh. It's not a work thing. I think this back, the back thing, if I trace it back, it does go, it goes all the way to throwing boxes, because the first time that I ever yanked my back was doing that. I was at home and I bent over the wrong way, and then all of a sudden I was like in screaming pain and had to lay on my stomach all night.
Well, it's not a lie that any time you do spend doing manual labor takes time off of your body.
Yeah, and let me say, kids, you have to pick it up the right way. Like, I thought it was so corny that old people would like stick their butt out and do like a squat to pick up boxes.
Those stupid things around their waist.
Yeah, lumbar support. Like, yes,
what is
do
that?
It. What get them.
Nerdlinger.
This is my PSA. If I'm going to trade in all my cool cachet to send a message, it's please pick up boxes the right way. It'll build your glutes. It'll give you that thickness you want. No. Also, here's my other one. Do not drink when you're injured, because that's really stupid to do, because you feel so loose and it's like the best medicine.
Loosey-goosey, baby, and now I'm dancing. I'm up dancing like the fucking old guy from that Fat Boy Slim video.
I'm doing Tom Cruise.
The fucking Six Flags guy. Remember the
Six Flags
guy?
Oh, yeah. The old guy?
That old guy dancing. That's what you're up doing. And so I hope 18 people in the audience got that. The next person, the soap star really pisses me off, though.
Well,
that one's one that, I mean, I understand that, like, you're going to come up with, like, well, there are people that have, like, a way out of it. Social life.
There was
most of those people work in restaurants, though. They're not coming into the call center.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's people that just do like a tour of the place for the first half of the day, and they really don't do any work at all. They just schmooze. There was this jackass that I used to work with, and he was a rich kid that had everything in a BMW, and he would just come in and try to brag. He would go to everybody's desk and try to brag, and then as soon as he left, we would just talk so much shit about what he said. And I think, like, he kept us going, like, he was just something else to focus on besides the job, you know?
Fucking Brad. What a shithead. Oh, yeah, I got a BMW. Yeah. I was hanging out with girls this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Still went to bed alone.
The next one's the itch. They need constant attention, reassurance, and feedback, and take so much energy and time to manage. You often find yourself sacrificing your job responsibilities to help them meet yours. So this is basically like, oh, a person that asks questions.
Or a new person.
Oh, God. Being a new person anywhere. What a nightmare. We don't talk enough about like the first like 5 days of work, when like everybody is just so frustrated with you the whole time. Like, have you ever worked at at All Star Cafe, a really busy restaurant at the time that you were working there, when you were the dishwasher for the first few days, like the people that had to depend on you were so mad the entire time. Do you remember?
Like, yeah.
That feeling always sticks with me, man. There was
people fuming.
There was a play at the call center. They had an area called the tank that was that's where you sat. You would sit there and they would have two leads walk back and forth and just help you until you got your call times down to 6 minutes. And then you got out of the tank and you got to go work, you know, and you'd be able to like, you could sit next to each other and do calls together and stuff like that. It was like the training place. But those managers that walked back and forth were so mad all day because of questions we were asking them. Like, it was the biggest pain in the ass. I'm like, dude, I don't know how to do this. You hired a roofer to do tech support for the internet. Like, you got to give me a hand here. You got to give me a learning curve.
Yeah.
Or like at the restaurant when you're cutting something and they're like, oh, move. I don't have time for this.
Well, it's also one of those things where it sounds like if there's somebody that doesn't follow directions well, you could probably try a different way. you need to figure out what makes it easier for that person to understand what exactly you want them to do, you know?
Yes. Yeah, that's sure. That's true.
It sounds like a lot of, don't you know how we do things around here?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
It's like when your significant other sets up rules in their fucking head and then don't tell you about them, you know, and then gets upset when you break them.
Yeah. I'm not an itch. I don't like the boss around me that much. That's my reason why.
Yeah,
I'm not, like,
I don't want him in my shit either.
Yeah, I even if I don't know what I'm doing, I try to figure it out on my own before I'm ever going to go to the boss. I will try to figure it out on my own. Then I will go to a fellow new employee that I met at orientation. And if that doesn't work, I'll go to a person that's been working there a little longer that I've met over my time. And if that doesn't work, I go to my trainer. And then if that doesn't work, then I go to my boss.
Yeah. Stay away, boss.
Yeah, that's the list of people that you go to. The very last one here is the smarty pants. Challenges your management authority, openly and forcefully constantly questions management decisions, and creates a harmful undercurrent of anti-management chatter.
Yeah.
I'm a smarty pants.
I like that too. I really like to show off.
The smarty pants should be able to take the manager's job. That's if they true. Can undermine them enough.
Challenge.
Yeah.
For the position. You think you're such a smarty pants? Why don't you do my job? Challenge accepted. For 1 month, I do your job. We compare, see who does it better.
I get your paycheck and you get mine.
Yeah.
Challenge. I would take that challenge.
Oh, yeah.
By the way,
I would do some good ass managing that month.
Mr. Management. So those are the job types. Those are the types of employees. I'm sure most of you are all of those.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them bled into each other. But I think that, a healthy workplace has to have all of those.
Yeah, they're all important. They're all, like, charming to me. So I guess I don't understand why.
You want to manage that stuff away?
Yeah. Why would you manage that stuff away? They're charming sweetie pies. It's the soap star. They give us something to talk about. Jeez. So I got an update for another story while we're on work here. Eoin Higgins called into our show.
Yeah.
To talk about Simple Safe, that weird like security company, the DIY security system company that sends people a security system in a box and then the people just never put it together probably.
Sure. Can't figure it out.
They can't figure it out.
Realize they aren't security installers.
Yeah. That's the new, like, because they started to do it with cable boxes when I worked there, where they would send somebody home with their cable box and be like, hook it up yourself. And it's like, I'm going to say 40% of people can do that. And the other 60% in my house, I'm the only person that can hook things up. Nobody else in the house even would ever consider thinking about hooking something up. And it's like, in my experience, most people I know that can hook things up are the only person in their house that can do it. And then everybody, like, I spent like a lot of my life going to every one of my friends and every one of my family's houses when they got some new thing, and me being the guy that has to go over there and set things up. You can't do DIY security systems. There's just such a few people that can figure all that stuff out. There's wires, and there's things you got to hook to windows.
Mounting.
And there's mounts. And it's just like, I mean, I even think it's crazy that people mount their TVs on their wall now. And I have been in some tragic TV mounting places with like holes where they tried a whole bunch of times with a bunch of different holes.
Oh, that's just drywall. Nope, we didn't get a stud again.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen somewhere. Now that's fine with me because I don't care as much. Like if I was living alone, that would probably be the situation I have. But now who I am, I would hire somebody to hook the TV up to the wall or be like, hey, Brett, do you know how to hook a TV? Do you know how to mount a TV to a wall? And then I'd have you come over and help me do it.
Yeah, I couldn't pay that money for that. I got to do that myself. I got to get a used mount off Craigslist and do it myself.
With the instructions, though, right?
No.
No instructions.
They're self-explanatory.
All right, so I want to have an update on this SimpliSafe story that he wrote. And I'm just going to kind of read the beginning of it. So if you'll remember, it was on the call-in show. This was a company that the working conditions were terrible. They had bed bugs in the building. And somebody finally said something. Like, he was about to get fired. He stood on his desk and said something about it. He yelled something about it. And two people ended up coming with him. And they all ended up suspended. And then another wrinkle to the story was that the next day they were kind of camped, standing outside with like information on unionizing and things. And the company catered lunch. And if you wanted to go out and smoke a cigarette, you had to go out with a manager. So that's the type of company we're dealing with here. And I just want to start this out by reading this. This is from the Dig Boston. Incendiary Pepe the Frog memes printed out and hung around the office. A Trump Make America Great Again flag covering a large portion of a workspace wall. An image of Bernie Sanders with the word cuck printed over his chest. These are some examples of the environment inside of the home security firm SimpliSafe shipping warehouse in Charlestown.
What?
Photos provided to the Boston Institute for Nonprofit Journalism show a workspace rife with hard right-wing propaganda, and former workers at the facility say that their attempts to alert management to the problem went unanswered at best and intentionally ignored at worst. It was an unbelievably toxic environment, former SimpliSafe employee Drew Purvis said. The memes and other things posted around the office were intended to specifically get a rise out of people who didn't share those views, and it worked really well on me. I'm looking at, you know, some of the things. They do have a big Trump flag. They do have a Pepe. They have a lot of Pepe stuff up there. They have a socialism sucks flag there and pictures of Trump all over the place. I mean, I can't yell about people hanging pictures of the president all over the place. That's kind of, I mean, hey, he's the president.
Yeah.
But it is, I understand what this person's saying, though, too. Like, something that says cuck. Like a picture of Bernie Sanders that says cuck on it is a very different thing for hanging in a workplace. Like it just, it's like, that's almost like hanging the naked lady calendars in the workplace. That steps over a line. Not that I give a shit about Bernie Sanders, but the word cuck does mean something. It does have a fucking meaning,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's not really the workplace. It's not a workplace activity.
Yeah, here's some,
and especially when it's in reaction to someone bringing up bed bugs, and so the within context, this is basically a straight back in their faces, like you will deal with these conditions and not complain about it.
Yeah, here's something they have written on a box there. Socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. Well, that's kind of where we're at now. Well, I mean, it's an unequal sharing of misery where some people get no misery and most people get a lot of it.
Yeah, so we're trying to spread it around. They're right.
Let's spread that misery around. But, man, that seems like a real campaign of intimidation against people to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see it. I mean, it's going to end up with in some sort of fire, I think. Some sort of riot or fire or imploding on itself, because that is an outrageous environment.
Fights?
Are they gonna
I can see fights happening because of something like this. I mean,
what are they gonna do? Make America come put out an ad on Craigslist to make America great again and have people do terrible customer service for this shit product that you
It is shit product too. It looks like it's like the manager station. If you look at it, it's like, I'm going to show Brett a picture of it. It's like, it's intense. It's got an American flag and a full size Trump flag by the cubicle. And it's just all kinds of stuff, man. So it's SimpliSafe. Straighten up. Okay. That's what we say here.
Get them out of business. Liquidate them.
Yeah. I mean, unionize, fuck it. You know?
Yeah. Go for it.
See what you can do. They're not going to keep you around anyway. You know, they're not going to keep you around if you're the type of person that if you're the type of person that would have a problem with this sort of thing, they're trying to get rid of you anyway. But that's crazy. That's like that's really wild that they would have that in a workplace. I've worked at places that had pretty aggressively bad politics where it didn't get that far.
No, I mean, maybe even the boss would say what their leanings are, but I've never seen anybody blatantly put out like shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems really, that seems pretty bad. So,
I mean, memes, gross, inappropriate jokes, that stuff is fine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, naked lady calendars would almost be fine with me, depending on who works there, you know? If it's just a bunch of grab-ass and dudes farting on each other, then I guess it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, that's a really...
mechanics.
Yeah, a bunch of mechanics. So, I guess I'm going to end the show this week by, you know, imploring people to call the DEA about Kratom. They're trying to do a Schedule 1 again. Actually, call your representative and tell them to sign the Pocan Lobiondo letter to the DEA. Because in this week, we're on Monday, I got one of those very Ohio things. Of a picture of a guy I knew growing up that went to high school with that we ran in my circle of friends where I was tagged and told that he is another person that died of heroin. And people are dying here. Like, it's hard for me to remember all of the people that have died from ODing in my life now. Just, if I tried to get together with my friends from the past, there would not be very many of us. And these aren't like bad people that I met at like drug dealers' houses. These are just people I went to high school with, and they're not people that I partied with. And it's just, it's fucking tough out there. And this government is making it impossible for people to get out of this thing safely. And this is just another example of that. Scheduling Kratom as a Schedule 1 narcotic is going to take that option away from people that it has worked for.
Yeah.
And
there's currently people that are off heroin because of Kratom.
And it's going to get them thrown in jail. I mean, they're not going to be able to get it anymore. There's not really going to be a black market for Kratom because how are you going to get it to anybody?
Yeah, it's going to, I mean, importing, I don't know how all that works. I mean, the prices will go up so high that you're just going to be back into heroin territory again. Probably.
Yeah, and that's the that's the thing. Like, I don't know if Kratom's like the best. I'm not like a medicine man telling you. I love it. But, like, I'm not going to tell you it's healthy because I don't fucking know, man. And I don't really care, actually. But,
It is just a plant.
It is just a plant. That's
it
the thing.
It is simply just a plant that's ground up into a powder.
Yes. What I'm saying is, like, the government's going to go and they're going to make this thing that people have used to get off of heroin illegal, and they're not going to give them anywhere to go with that. And that's what happened to this guy that I knew that grew up. I knew somebody who had been kind of trying to help him get his life together, had helped him get an ID, was kind of letting him do, because like he wouldn't take money, you know, he wouldn't just bum money off of him. He would do work around his house for money, and then the guy would give him some money about once a month, and then get him some food in him and drop him off where he asked to be dropped off. And he was just kind of like, I knew what he was going to do, but I just hoped that every time I talked to him, I could hopefully talk him in to getting it together. And I read his news feed. I read this guy's news feed this week on Facebook, and he, like, a lot of heroin people don't post very much. It's not like a thing when you're in the grips of that thing where you're like really into posting. But the only two things I saw were him like apologizing to his daughter for not being a great dad and talking about how he couldn't get into rehab. And I mean,
who knows?
That's a big one.
Who? There's a lot of people who just can't get into rehab. It's just not like, I know when I went to check in, the first place I went to said it would be 6 weeks, and it's like, oh well, cool. Oh, just do drugs for another 6 weeks then, I guess.
Yeah, I know someone that couldn't afford it and ended up dying. They were addicted to alcohol, but the DTs like fucking killed them. And that one was really tough. And all I ever thought about was that money is what kept her from getting help, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if that was all it was money.
Or laws. Again, like, so much time is spent to say, like, oh, you know, people who have gotten off of heroin with marijuana, that's not like a small amount of people either.
Oh, no.
There are people that have decided, me, including me, who at a time when I was really fucking vulnerable and I wanted to do drugs, I'm sorry. I love them. I'm not even going to apologize. I just love drugs so much that, like, at the time I was like, well, I'll just do marijuana then. I'll be fine. But, you know, there are a lot of places where you can't even do that. Fuck, there are a lot of places where you can't even do CBD, you know? And it's like they cut off anything that could be okay. And then they leave you, like, with the option of alcohol and scoring illegally. And then people die of fentanyl. Or
overpriced healthcare.
Or overpriced healthcare, you know? Not everybody can afford to go, like, a lot of these politicians who have had people with drug problems in their family, like, send them to some fucking beach in, like, Malibu, California, where they get to sit in drum circles and fucking learn how to live a sober lifestyle. Not a lot of people fucking have that, man. We can't get our hands on that.
Yeah.
We go to a bleak place with no beds and get sent, turned away at the door, unless you have enough money to do some outpatient thing. And they're just squeezing and fucking squeezing until they're leaving no option but death. And, like, I don't know.
And also, it comes down to, you know, criminal charges, too, and jobs and all of that. The way that our society treats it, the way the punishment aspect makes it so that you can't get a job. You get a drug charge and all of a sudden you're cut out from a lot of jobs, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to make money. It's hard to get by. Like, they are hindering people's lives at every possible chance they fucking can with this shit.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking before the show and I was talking about how there was this guy I worked with. His wife had cancer and, this was in the 2000s, and he got kind of hooked on her painkillers because they were giving out a lot of painkillers at that time. They were just so your scripts were so big, and like it was more than the person usually needed, maybe just to be safe or whatever. And her husband got hooked on it, and he was in the parking lot at work and somebody in their work van hit him in his work van, and they drug tested them both and he lost his job. And I had a conversation with somebody who told me in the time when that company was a smaller company before Insight Communications bought them, which was a New York company, they had their policy for when you pissed hot on a drug test was you go to rehab, and once you got your shit together, you get to come back to work. And now they just fire you. That, like, at that job I was there when they started just firing you for it. So where does that leave you as a person? It's such a fucking inhuman way to act. This fucking DEA is so inhuman, and this government is inhuman, and the medical system and the insurance companies are just inhuman. They cause people to do terrible fucking things in the name of, like, efficiency and, like, having some sort of an idea of a clean society that doesn't fucking exist, man, because most people are doing something to get by, whether it's drinking gin every night or fucking smoking cigarettes or popping pills. And, like, we just need to accept that it's fucking bleak for a lot of us. We can't get around the world. We can't do anything. We don't get to fly around in fucking jets. I've been on 5 airplanes in my life. You know, it's like, I traveled in my mind all of these times because that's all I can fucking do. You try being fucking Jeff Sessions. Try sitting in Columbus, Ohio your whole life and never fucking leaving. And then tell me how you feel about drugs. You fucking little... I've fucking trolled all, like, I don't know what he looks like. He's like a gnome. He looks like a fucking gnome.
He's a goblin.
I just hate him. Oh, like, I will be so glad when he's dead. That is a man that he should have died of a heroin overdose when he was 38 years old. That's what I wish would have happened to him, and my people could still be alive. Because what a piece of fucking shit. This DEA, just abolish the DEA and the FBI. Just abolish the CIA. Abolish the government. I hate it. I just am so mad about it. It really makes me mad.
They get in the way. They don't have adult. It's like they don't have adult conversations in my mind. No one's having like those. We're not having any real discussions. It's just all about generating income and punishing people, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we want to make sure people's lives are being ruined properly and that someone can make a buck off of it.
Yeah. So, if you're having trouble out there with that stuff, like, and you need somebody to talk to, I'm always there. You're more than welcome to DM me if you're having trouble with any of the rehab and stuff like that. And Brett, you know, we'll do what we can to help people. I don't know what we can do, but if you just need somebody to talk to, we're fucking there. And, be somebody that people who are struggling can talk to. I know it's fucking hard, man. And I know that they do things that make you so mad. And like sometimes, you know, just remember that like everybody I know that's gone through this had a really troubled childhood. Like the guy that I know that just died spent a good portion of his childhood in jail. And like, who knows how this led to that? You know, like what I don't, I just remember he was like the guy that kept going to DH. I don't remember what that stands for, but that's what we called it in Columbus, kid jail, DH. So
yeah, I remember it. I can't remember what it stood for either.
So just be there for somebody if you can, you know, don't let them steal from you or take advantage of you, but just they need people to care. And like, they're not bad people. A lot of them have had really fucked up lives, you know, and don't really, you know, this guy was homeless.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, man, just be there. Hope, see what you can do to help, because it's not cut and dry. Some of these cases, there are a lot of people that want to get help and don't really know what to do or how to do it. And just, you know,
aren't surrounded by people that can give them a clear answer, you know, or a pathway.
Yeah. Don't shame them. Cause that's the thing that tends to hit for me is like, I was told a lot of times like, well, you can't just replace pills with marijuana. It's like, well, you can.
Maybe you can.
You could. I'm going to try that and see what happens. And then it worked out for me. But people will say that to you. Like, you're just trading one habit for another. And it's like, well, which one is worse? You know what I mean? Which one's the more bad one? I don't mind trading up for a better thing, you know? I got one more question for you, Brett, before we go tonight. We'll end on a some kind of a note, but we were asked a question, and okay, I thought we would answer it by a good buddy who listens to the show named iPhone Avocado on Twitter. All right,
cool guy.
Yeah, very cool guy. And he wanted to ask us, while I have this in my brain, can I suggest let people get hot food on food stamps as a possible street fight cause? I saw a guy get rejected trying to buy a hot turkey sub at Wawa the other day, and it renewed my crusade against that fucked up stipulation. And
I would say we could at least start with just employees, let it slide.
That's true.
Ring it up cold.
Yeah, it worries me though about the employee getting fired, you know, like if they consider that stealing by the company. But I guess like
the company still gets money out of it.
That's true. They still do get the money. I mean, I guess we could ask the employees like, to let it slide, but it is a dumb law, too. It's a dumb fucking rule.
Yeah, but how are we going to change the rule?
I don't know. I know that arguing logic against it is wrong. It's just when I think about food stamps, I think of them. I think the fundamental difference between me and the government is that when I think about food stamps, I think of them as a thing that we do for people that can't get food. You know what I mean? That like, oh, you can't get food? I can help you. We have plenty of food in these stores. I'll give you things that you can buy food with. But they see it as a punishment sort of thing, right? So like, it's already money that you can only spend on one thing. So why not severely limit what you can spend it on?
Well, they said you got to make it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, what are they making? I would think you might even be able to get healthier food if you could eat. There's a chance that if you could have somebody prepare the food for you,
no,
you wouldn't just eat boxed macaroni and cheese for dinner, is all I'm saying.
Well, that's what Wawa's serving too, though.
Boxed macaroni? No, they're serving subs, man. That's a sandwich. That'll get
trash
you going.
Ingredients. The same trash ingredients.
That's true. That's true. But you should be allowed to eat those trash ingredients if you want to. It's not like food stamps means that you're eating like Brussels sprouts and a pork chop for dinner. You're not going to be able to afford much more than like high sodium foods and stuff like that. That's generally what ends up happening, where people buy like SpaghettiOs and fucking ramen and canned meat and like stuff like that. It's just not like. Just let them buy what they want with the fucking food stamps. Stop. Just give them money. First of all, just give them a bunch of fucking money. There's money out there for it. There's plenty of food. It doesn't make any sense to me. None of it does. I hate it. I hate the goddamn government, Brett. I'm really anarchist tonight.
If someone wants a gas station sub, I think that's the least we could do.
Yeah, a tornado is perfectly good for somebody to eat. Like, I mean, if a person who needs food wants to eat two tornadoes for dinner, then fuck it. Let them have the damn tornadoes. If it makes their day better, just think we made a day better.
That's true too. You need to add that aspect as well.
Yeah.
That's like when people are like, I gave some money to charity and they blew it all on going out to the movies or something. You know, I thought they were going to use that for groceries. And it's like, no, they're fucking no. They really, really need money. They want some relief, something to escape. So they're going to go do something for themselves like everybody else does.
So stupid. I gave them $50 and they just went out and enjoyed their time. Sure, they sit at home with an antenna trying to figure out what to watch from the movies that the free channels show. But yeah. Ugh, God.
Yeah, that was like an NPR story I heard a couple years back that really bugged me.
Stop punishing poor people for being poor. It's fucking stupid. There's not any jobs paying any money.
Well, yeah, we also do so much to discourage. I mean, they take money out of their check still. I mean, they're taking money out of your check.
I know. They take taxes out of those people. Like, why? They help them pay, too. They get to help pay to build bridges. Like, fuck. Well, I don't need your money. I know where we can get the money. Let me direct you to where we can get the money. Like, when they say there's no money for education, I'm like, Bill Gates has a bunch of money. He loves education. Let's just take it from him and do it our way instead of whatever weird fucking way that he wants to hand it out.
Yeah, that's hot food is easy. That's an easy one.
Yeah, come on.
Where's the charity?
Why are you punishing
them? Where's the goodwill at?
Yeah, give somebody a fucking tornado. Tornadoes for all. They should be free. Tornadoes. Street Fight says you should be able to buy a roller bacon cheeseburger with food stamps. We're okay with it. That's the show this week, man.
All right. Well, thank
Christmas
you
Christmas break, baby.
Yes. Time to take a few days off. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We're going to have some extra material out, bonus stuff coming up on Patreon soon. Trying to work on a video or something Christmas related, and everybody's bugging us for a wives show, so I think that's coming soon as well. You can get all of our extra material over on patreon.com/streetfightradio. For $1 a month, you get access to our bonus shows. For $3 a month, you get a PDF copy of our zine, a digital copy of the zine we put out every single month. You have until the end of the year to sign up for $5 a month, but it's going up to $8 a month. We'll get you an actual hard copy of the zine sent you in the mail every single month. All the money goes towards raising more hell and pushing this thing to a bigger and badder audience. So thank you for supporting us. I wanted to, man, since we had a down note, and there was another down note, and I wanted to make sure I mentioned it. I heard the worst news in the world today, and that was that Combat Jack had passed away. So I wanted to say, if you don't know who he is, please investigate Combat Jack Radio. It was a podcast that I've been listening to for 6 or 7 years now, and he's a big part of where I got my inspiration for some of the interviews that I do and for the questions that I ask and the way that I think about having guests on the show. He was a really big inspiration, and a lot of the ways that he moved in his business and trying to own everything for himself and not sell out to somebody else and doing his own thing was also a really big help in getting Street Fight started, and for me as like a small business owner. So I want to say, rest in power, Reggie Osei. I'm going to end this the same way that he ended all of his shows. So dream those dreams, then man up and live them dreams, because life without dreams is black and white, and the universe flows in technicolor and surround sound. Wow.
off. Just put it. The line.